Nice to catch up with a good friend. Armand Katayan, who many of you see on HBO Real Sports, does a great job as one of their correspondents, but also a fine investigative reporter for CBS News and also for 60 Minutes. And he wrote one of the best books I've read in a long time when it comes to sports, and I often talk about it on the air, called Money Players Inside the New NBA. But I saw him on Real Sports with a segment that he did about the help that is finally reaching some of the retired NFL football players who have some serious problems, both physically, mentally, and also from a drug standpoint as well. Armand, why don't you background everybody on what your story was about?
Well, sure, but first, Ron, it's so good to talk to you again. It's been a while, and it's I've always enjoyed being on the air with you and Sports Byline. So, it's nice to catch up again. So, the piece on Real Sports was about a group in New Jersey called PAST, which is a Pain Alternative Solutions and Treatment, the acronym, and it's one doctor, really, Dr. William Ficazio, who saw the need, actually based upon an original Real Sports piece that Brian Gumbel did a couple of years ago, and he reached out to a number of his colleagues in New Jersey, and he put together this incredible team of specialists. It's about eight or nine guys now, everybody from orthopedic surgeons to psychologists to spine surgeons to gastroenterologists. It's an incredible group of guys, and what they've done is they're doing it pro bono, basically doing all the MRIs, all the surgeries, all the treatments for free, and through word of mouth from basically one player, Randy Grimes, a former Tampa Bay offensive lineman who played 10 years up through 1992, the word of mouth has spread to now where there's about 100 players that have come to this group in New Jersey, and it's really become a one-stop shop for what you would call integrated care, which I think is the model now for how you deal with all the problems that these former players are having, not 1 or 2 years after they retire, but in many cases 5, 10, 15 years after they retire. And the pain is so great, a lot of times they turn to painkillers to dull the pain, which turns to an addiction, and Dr. Ficazio's group has been able to essentially deal with the addiction and then deal with the treatments that go with the surgeries, whether it's replacing a hip or a knee or a neck surgery, whatever. And it's really a remarkable altruistic kind of a group of guys who are rock stars in their own profession who have come together to say, you know what, there isn't enough of this being done by the NFL or the NFLPA or the alumni group, or the Player Care Foundation, which is funded by the NFL, so we'll do it ourselves.
As you pointed out in the story, about $2 million has already been spent by these doctors, these specialists in their field, and if they've been able to do this successfully, is this a plan maybe for the NFL, and why hasn't it been done by the NFL before?
Well, we did talk to the NFL, and it is a model that they're very, very interested in. They have reached out to other medical groups to ask them if they would be willing to provide pro bono care for some of these former athletes. But that also begs the question, as far as I'm concerned, is, you know, why isn't the NFL and the Players Association funding these kinds of treatments for these players? I mean, they're now in the midst of, obviously, these incredibly contentious CBA negotiations, and one of the big issues is the care of former players, and everything's on the table from these COBRA plans where the players, after their insurance runs out, and for your listeners, if you're in the NFL for 4 years and you're vested, you basically get 5 years of insurance after you retire, but a lot of these guys retire at 27 or 28, so you're talking, you know, 32, 33 years old. That's nothing. What happens when you're 38, 40, 45, that's where the problems really begin. So this COBRA plan may work where the players vest in it, and then when they need to get help, it's available to them. Another possible point here now is what's called a legacy program, where the NFL and the union would fund somewhere between $100 million and $300 million in post-career care which frankly, when you're dealing with a $9-plus billion industry, I mean, these are kind of rounding errors for them. So that's where I see this going personally, is that the only way this really works is that the NFL and the Players Association agree to fund this in a big way, because no matter what PAST is doing, you know, you're talking about $2 million. That's a drop in the bucket to what the potential need is.
Yeah, my reaction was the same as yours. Why isn't the NFL doing more than, you know, something like this? You focused in your piece on two particular players. One was Ray Lucas, who was a quarterback with the Miami Dolphins. Can you talk a little bit about his situation and also about Randy Grimes?
Sure. Well, Ray, I've known Ray. I covered the NFL for 8 years, you know, on the sidelines. And, I mean, I've known Ray since he got into the league. And he was, you know, he's the classic Jersey boy. He always had a chip on his shoulder. He was undrafted, kind of a, you know, badass player coming into the league. And you know, I saw him in Miami. I saw him in New York. I saw him in New England. I saw him in Baltimore. And it was really interesting, because Ray always had this front of being very in control and very, you know, Jersey, that bravado that comes with being, in, you know, a Jersey boy. And I saw a very different Ray Lucas in this story. He was completely humbled by his addiction to painkillers. You know, you're talking 450 pills a month. And we're not talking, you know, Advil or even, you know, Vicodin. We're very high-level painkillers day after day, and the depression of being in bed and not being able to relate to his wife and his three adorable daughters, and really wanting to kill himself. I mean, really planning and talking about driving, you know, turning right off the GW Bridge and that connects New Jersey to Manhattan. And so when you feel it in the way that real sports can make you feel it, and then you see how Ray had been helped by the addiction group in the Palm Beaches, and then what Dr. Percazio's group was able to do with his neck and his shoulder and all the problems that he had physically, it was so empowering and so, you know, enlightening in a lot of ways, that these guys can get help if the right kind of treatment. And by that I mean that integrated care. And Randy was another kind of revelation. He's sort of patient zero for the PAST group. He was the first one that they tried to help. And just a guy who had given his life to the game of football, and after he retired in 92, just his knees and his neck and his shoulder, just was trying to dull the pain. And his pain addiction was so high, his drug addiction was so high, 650 pills a month, which for your audience, I mean, 650 pills of these high-powered, you know, Vicodin, Soma, the kind of drugs that would knock horses out, he was able to be brought into treatment. They couldn't even operate on him. His blood levels were so toxic that they had to clean him up, and then they took him into surgery. They replaced his knees. They fixed his neck. They did a lot of things that just relieved the pain immediately, so he could go into treatment and really, deal with all the issues that are the psychological issues that come from no longer playing the game. It's just really a remarkable group of guys, Ron. It really is. It's just something that you don't see very often in a world of medicine and copays and insurance. You know, what can we do for you rather than, you know, how much can you pay us? And it's the kind of story that I hope, and I think it has, affected people. And you know, I think the NFL wants to do more, but this is a money issue, you know, and the NFL has always been, bottom line, it's built around money. And my sense is if they don't, in this new CBA, if they don't deal with this issue in a big way, This flood of players is not going to stop in any way, shape, or form.
Let me ask you a question, just to put this into perspective for those that are listening. And Ray Lucas, both of these men were broken men and still are broken to some degree. But tell everybody how old Ray Lucas is and what we're talking about here in the case of Ray Lucas.
Yeah. He's 38 years old. I mean, you know, that's just broken at 38. And I mean broken. It's not like my back hurts and I'm having a hard time getting up in the morning. It's like I can't turn my neck. I have to turn my entire body. My neck is on fire. I can't lift my leg. I'm so depressed. I can't get out of bed in the morning. I'm gobbling 10 or 12 pills an hour, every hour that I'm awake. It's not even an existence. I wouldn't even call it a life. And that's a guy that was so full of life when you saw him play. You know, one of the words I wrote in the piece was like he was just, when Ray was on and he was really feeling confident on the field, he was electrifying. He could just do a lot of things. He was 6'3", 215 pounds, and, you know, was fearless. So when you see him broken and you see Randy broken and you see some of these other at Christian Okoye, you know, as you know, I mean,
sure,
one of the great, you know, running backs in the history of the NFL, just his neck was just completely shattered. Every doctor he went to said, no, I can't do it. It's too dangerous, blah, blah, blah. Past found him a surgeon. He went in and fixed his neck. And now, I mean, he has a life. A lot of these guys, I mean, life was a word that they didn't even, it didn't even register with them. So it's stunning to me, as it is, I'm sure, to you, who has covered this a long time, that the players from, we can go back to the Mike Webster days, we can go back to the Jim Otto days, we can go back to, you know, any of the number of players that have shown up to testify on Capitol Hill, that this need still remains, in my mind, unrecognized by both the NFL and the Players Association at the level in which it needs to be recognized. Yes, they do. Yes, the NFL does screenings, and yes, it has some joint replacement programs, and yes, it does provide some money to former players to help. But the need so far exceeds what is being funded right now, and it's just not right. In very basic human terms, it's not right.
We only have 2 minutes left, Armin, but the one thing I thought about is that over the years of my interviewing athletes that played football, I've never heard one say that it wasn't worth it. Now, obviously, when we take a look at a story like yours, there are going to be those players that say, I don't know if it was worth it at all, and it probably wasn't worth it. But there is a rationale that goes along with some of these players, a kind of denial, is there not?
Oh, yeah, I don't, you know, actually, as you were saying that, I was thinking what both Ray and Randy said, and they would say, I think, if I'm figuring them out right, that it was absolutely worth it. They would do it again. The camaraderie and the brotherhood of a locker room in the NFL is a drug into itself, and it's so missed by these players. And I think the treatments that Pass now brings together with Randy and Ray now working with other players that have come into the Pass program, because they understand the brotherhood of the locker room, they understand what it's like to be a warrior on the field, they can speak in a language that you and I and doctors and sports writers and psychologists and psychiatrists just can't do, and that's where you get guys who will commit to treatment and commit to the kind of help that the doctors that Pass can give them. So it was one of those stories that, you know, to me was really inspiring, because it's rare where you have doctors that are, you know, that are making a lot of money and stop and say, you know what, I want to do good for other people, it doesn't have anything to do with my own bottom line.
Well, let's just hope that the National Football League pays attention and tries to do what is the right thing. I know it's about money, but I think that they have to understand they would not be making the money that they're making today had it not been for the players over the years that have given not only their talents but also their bodies as well. Armin, congratulations on the piece. It's just outstanding. Good to see you back on HBO Real Sports, and let's stay in touch on some other stories that you do, because you do a great job. Thanks a lot, Armin.
You're welcome, Ron.
Fine reporter, one of the best I've ever seen in the business overall, not only just sports. Armin Katayan with us. And I hope you'll check out this piece. You can find it online at HBORealSports.com. It's about athletes, pro football players that are really suffering mentally, emotionally, and physically. We'll take a break as we continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.